Reading the Panavizri, Limbar of Shach. So he told me that he learned the sugya of Basar Monetir Tovar, Basar Mikra, Basar Tovar Monaz Linan. So he remembered, he thought it was from Shlomo Hyman. Shlomo Hyman was one of the Rosh Hashiva Tevar Das. He thought he remembered that Shlomo Hyman brings a raya to Rashi against the Ramban. This is Raya. He says, because according to Ramban, if a person would go to the top of a building, drop an object, and then run down to the bottom of the building and smash the object, it'd be butter. So how you talking that that should be correct? According to Rashi, go be Bosa Mikra. All right, so the guy dropped it, it's Chayiv. What happens after that is Mona Tovar Tovar. Alright. But according to the Ramban says that we go Bosar Tovar Mona like the like Rabbah. He holds that's Pshat and Rabbah. That's the Maskon of the Sugya. Says if that's the case, you can have a situation. A person, when he drops it from the top, so he's not the mazik. And it goes to the bottom. So then it's already basar. It's already a mona tevira tovar. So it should be chayiv. No, what would you say? So he said, lo yitochin that Reuven can find a way to actively damage your property via dayim and then to be potter. So apparently Shiva brought that as a raya of why Rashi's pshat, why we have to say basar, why Rashi's pshat is muchrach. Again, I didn't see the shir, he didn't remember the shir so well. But what the comment I would make is that the Ramban's understanding of this line at first glance is compelling. Right? We explained yesterday how to explain this line so we can understand Rashi based on the Rav's approach in Rav Chaim. But the simple reading of the line that Zara klim v'rosh hagag u'bo achar v'shiva v'makal potin emrin alei mona tevira tovar, and therefore, so the Ramban says that if mona tevira tovar is taken literally and it means that he broke something that had no value, then that does not prove that we go basar ikra. It just means everyone's potter. So it does not really prove the point. And therefore he says, the way that we prove the point is that the sheni should become chayav b'niri's potter. So L'chor Rashi would say, but Ramban, according to your pshat, you'd have to come to a very strange conclusion. According to your pshat, the same guy could be mazik somebody. If you have a situation where we only go basar tovar mona, so then we end up being pattering somebody. So Anias Daiti, that's what I would point out, that L'chayra, everybody holds that there is one Maisa Hezek over here. There's one long Maisa Hezek. That's what we pointed out yesterday. Our sugya forces us to be machadish the concept of a Maisa Hezek. Again, I'm always hesitant to be machadish the Chal Hashem or a new musik, a new concept. You always have to have a hechreach for it. Otherwise, you get lost up in your own terminology. But over here we see now that it's muchrach for us to define that the Torah says there's something called a Maisa Hezek. You have to define the whatever you want to call it. You have to define the Maisa Hezek. But because sometimes the Maisa Hezek is ambiguous. And you have to know whether you're talking about Shane or you're talking about Hasidim Shravim, talking about Karen. So you have to be able to most of the time it will be implicit. Most of the time you're not going to need to define a Masa Hezek. You'll know that Reuven property damaged Shimon, he owes some money, he has to pay, done. So you have to know some details, whether it's Bor, whether it's Toman, Kalim, Mechulet. And therefore, in that context, the Masa Hezek is redundant. We pointed out yesterday that this sugya points out to us that the Torah worked with the way the Torah wants us to understand the parsha of Hezek is to define a Masa Hezek. This is a situation where the Masa Hezek is not so clearly obvious, not so obvious. Because the Hezek, the damage that is inflicted over time. And if you look at different points in time, you're going to have to categorize it differently. That's the Arsugya. So Arsugya says, well, we define the Masa Hezek based on when this happens, how do we define the Masa Hezek? So Arsugya says that when the Masa Hezek has to be defined, so Machloik is Rashi Ramban, did the Sugya conclude that Basar Ikra, Basar Tvarmona? We pointed out yesterday is that it is counterintuitive as to how we learn Pshat in this Machloikis. The simple reading would be that Ramban would say Basar Tvarmona, it's Reb Chaim's word. And Rashi would say Basa Meikra, and it would be the Chazanisha's Vart, right? That'd be the simple way of reading it. But when you learn the sugya, you see this other way around. That Rashi's approach is that the Maisa Hezek is the Hefsid that I caused, that the loss in property that I caused. And Ramban would say it's the loss of value that I inflicted upon somebody. Right, so that could play itself out in numerous situations. Right, the case that we have been working with is the damaged car case. You could refer back to what we discussed last semester about the person who had two Picassos and Reuven trashed one Picasso, but the second Picasso now became of double value. So there was a hefsid in property, but not a hefsid in value. So according to Reb Chaim's approach would be that Hezek was done. How to evaluate the compensation, have to figure it out. But according to the Ramban, there was no Hefsid in an overall value. Right? It relates to the Sugya of Hezek, Shaded Nikur Shmei Hezek. And according to Reb Chaim, since there's no noticeable the damage of property, so that's Hezek she'ena nikir lav shmei Hezek. I suffered a loss. I have before I had wine that I could have sold anybody. Now I have wine. Let's say I can't sell to anybody. Can't get enough. But the property has not been damaged per se. So this was Reb Chaim's approach. That if we paskin Hezek she'ena nikir lav shmei Hezek, and we could support over here Rashi's pshat in Boston Meikra, so this also supports the idea. And as we pointed out that in Hezek, the greater damage that has been done is the violation of property, and money is the way that we try to gain some compensation. All right. So you can think about Shlomo Hyman's tzir. Good, Daniel.
Do any other Rishonim or Akronim really pass like the Ramban? I mean, because it seems like Tosfos and the Rashi both say Basar Bikara.
Yeah.
And other Rishonim also.
Well, the Ritva, the Nebuka Yosef, at the beginning of the Perek, pulls it all together. So I think the quotes the Ramba.
With the Asian Shukhetsu?
No. At the very beginning of. He gives the reviews in the Oz of Hodes Yerches Amid Beis. So I think he quotes the Ramah, who would paskin like the Ramban.
Okay.
and the Ritva is Besafik. So the Ritva holds the Metamel of a Raya. There's also a Raivid on this. Very often, the Raivid wrote Ha'oros on the Melchomas to defend the Baal Amor, I think. Lav Davka. The Raivid doesn't have a contract. He doesn't. The Baal Amor is a contract to criticize the Rif, and the Ravan is a contract. That was one of Erbeim, Shimon Rome. So it was a big Talmud Chacham Rabbi Shavel who wrote Svarim to answer all the Rabbi Kiva Eger's kashas and all the Gilyan Hashasas. So once he referred to that sefer, he said he has a contract. He has to answer all the Kiva Eger's. I can leave some Tzorchi, and I don't have a contract. So the Melchamas has a contract to defend the Rif against the Baal Amor's kashas. In many situations, many mesechtas, the Ravid has ha'oris, and he always writes kosuv shom. Every so often, you see in the shelf a sefer called kosuv shom le Ravid. So that is the Ravid's comments on the machlekes Baal Amor and the Melchamas. So in our suya, you have a full set. Go to the end of the page, you'll see that the Ravid says kosuv shom. The Ravid is a very interesting ha'orah. Ravid's ha'orah over here is that when the chicken was pecking away at the rope, he says the chicken knew that that's the way it's going to be able to drink from the dli. It's almost like a Pavlovian response. But the chicken already knew how to get the dli. And that's why it's considered to be a form of shame. If you have a chance to have a look at it. So coming back to Neil's question, so the answer is that of the latest form I do not know. Of the earliest form, the Bukhiyas, of course, the Ramban, I believe the Ramah, and the Ritva has a suffix. The Baal Amor also has a suffix. And the Baal Amor has a mechudishtik approach that the resolution is mitam pshara. Alright? Rambam is usually understood to be Basim Ikra. The Rabbi Maggit is in the Rambam that heals Basim Ikra. Good, go ahead.
Did we flesh out yesterday fully the difference between Hezek and Misa? Like we said, just Shmir doesn't apply to Misa, but
yeah.
What's really the difference between the two?
The way the Brisker Rav explained it, as mentioned by Bircha Shmuel, is that in Chumash, the Torah only mentions Shmir in the context of a Mazik. In the context of Ritzicha, so there's no issue of Shmira. Even by the Ritzeach B'shoigeg, the Torah does not explicitly say that he's being held somewhat responsible for this Ritzicha because he could have been a better Shomer on his acts or on having other people in the neighborhood. So that's the Briskrov's comment. He said Chumash seems to put Shmira as the compelling concern Lagabe Hezek, but not Lagabe Ritzicha. Hayyotzim could suggest. Was that?
By Adam, we said there's no Shmira by Adam.
Well, the Gemara does have.
Shmira is Gufa Yolam, we say, no, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. The Lashon of Gemara is Shmira is Gufa Yolam, but the Gemara does have that Lashon, Shmira is Gufa.
Rejects it, though, no?
I don't think Gemara rejects it.
He's rhetorically. Could there be Shmira by Adam and Mazik? No.
It's in Gilmore. Anyways, but go ahead. So by Adam and Mazik, there could be a concept of Shmira, a person having restraint, so to speak. Right? But that's not the... if what you're saying is correct, So then it's the distinction is between Momen and Mazik and Adam and Mazik. And Adam and Mazik is together with...
Yeah.
Right. But in this case, the Brisker Rav would see Adam and Mazik as part of violating Shmira.
Does he have a different distinction other than just Shmira? Is it more of a essential difference?
Yeah, so L'chor, the way I would understand it is that Momin of Mazik is the Torah addressing competing zechuyas, competing rights. Vitzicha is not a parish of competing rights. In other words, when it comes to Adam Mazik, Momin of Mazik, so I have the right to have Momin, you have the right to have Momin, right? I have a right to conduct myself. I was chus to take my mom in different places. I was chus to hold on to my mom and his assets. Right. At some point, I've over exercised my zechuyas. When my mom and dad was your mom, you have zechuyas also. If you want to leave your parish bishus harabim, no, you have no zechus. You can't hold me responsible for that. For me to bring my baby into your property, I've limited zechuyas then. And you have full zechuyas to be in your property. If we have agreed in a certain property that we can have our animals there and their fruit there, right, so then we have, so then our zechuyas also are now in competition, and part of my responsibilities that come with my zechuyas are shmira, that it shouldn't damage you. So hezek is the Torah addressing the rights and the obligations that we have vis-a-vis each other because we're doing our own thing and living in close quarters, right? So that's where Shmira comes from. Lo Yishmerena means the whole Chakira, the Neil referring to yesterday, the whole Chakira of Bosar, whether it's Shmira or whether it's a moment. It's the same thing. I have mom and you have mom. All right, with my mom and with my property, I have responsibilities and obligations. All right, so did I? So now the chakira is my obligation to always do good shmira, and when my shmira is lapsed, then I now become responsible, or is my do I have obligations to compensate when my property damages, and if I did shmira, so then I didn't even have to do an impotter. But essentially, what the Torah is addressing over here is people with competing zechuyas. All right. So, but when it comes to murder, the whole different, the language is different, the thinking is different. Right. It's not like ki'ilu. Ki'ilu would say, well, you don't have a right to be here. And if the world gets too small for us, you know, so then and I try to take you out, so I've overset my bounds. That's not the language of Yitzicha. Yitzicha is this, it's like a no tolerance kind of thing. We're not talking about zechuyas. We're talking about that for a person to it's a beyond the scope of what a person's allowed to do. So that's why what the Briskerov is saying, that's why Adam Mazik straddles. Right, that's why you have trouble be Said Hadomar to say that Adam Mazik is a result of not doing good shmira. Is that really correct? Is Adam Mazik just doing something that Chabola shouldn't be doing it? That's what a Choyl is all about. So that's what the Briskerov is pointing out. When it comes to Ritzicha, so the person who drops the tinok, so the issue is not, well, where did the shmira lapse, right? Where did I overexercise my zchus moment? Right? How do we negotiate that there's a tinok here and there's a person they get each other's way? That's not the conversation. That's not the parsha. Right? And depending on the parsha is that it's a person has it's hard even, you can't use the same words. That's not I don't know if it's chus to do something. I can't violate someone else's life. Life is sacrosanct. So there's the Brisker is pointing out that to discuss bosa meikra bosa saif is this the wrong? It's a totally different parasha. There's no question I have to define the maisa. It could be the mechayev, I mean not chayev. Did was there intent, was there not? But it's a, that's what the Brisk Rav, it doesn't really express the difference, because it's the Sodas are so different. Right? That's the Suya of Kofar is the discusses that Kofar is Momin Amazik, but it resulted in Ritzicha. So that's why there are elements of Kofar which are more from the Parsha of Ritzicha than from the Parsha of Hezra. Alright? Good. Let's just make the, at least note the Tosi, even if we're not able to fully address all the issues of the Tosis. Zara Kli Meiresh Agag, but I'd like everyone to go further on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Let's see if we can get over to Ches Amud Beis, and then I would like to discuss, there are a few topics we should discuss. Sat Thomas is an important topic, Ha'odol Itzrar is important, and I'd like to get to the topic. I've been procrastinated discussing exactly how to define Karen. Sure. So that is the Sugya New Testament base. So I'd like to accomplish that. And then, as you know, get on to Zenena and Eishim Mishim Chitza. So we'll see how we can do. Okay. So now the bottom taste. Zara Klim Rosh Agag. Niridim Zarak Eben Oichetz Ala Kli Ubo Acher Vikidem Vishibroi Pshito Dechayiv Vleishayach Kan Monet Viratomer. Taisma says we should distinguish between the cases that we've been discussing until now of Zarak Kli Meiroi Shagag Ubo Acher Vishibroi. Alright, so let's switch channels for a second. Alright? That now we're talking about a person who takes a rock and is throwing it at a keli. And before the rock hits the keli, so another guy comes and he breaks the keli. Alright? Until now we're talking with Reuven that drops the keli Meiresh Agag. And Shimon who whacks the keli on its way down. So the Gemara says one thing is clear, that Shimon is off the hook. Why is Shimon off the hook? Rashi says because there's one long maisa hezek. It began with the zrika, it's going to end with the smash, and this person is totally inconsequential to this maisa hezek. So Shimon, he's a nobody over here. Alright? That's Rashi's mahalach. Ramban's mahalach is that in this particular case, nobody is chayiv because the man who did the Maisa Hezek was the Sheni, and by the time he got the Maisa Hezek, it was a valueless keli. So in this particular case, no one is chayiv. Reuven did not do the Maisa Hezek. Shimon did a Maisa Hezek on a valueless piece of property. So the Nizik loses out. Right? That's another example of, according to the Ramban, Rashi would disagree, but according to the Ramban, we're defining a Maisa Hezek. We have to define when did the Hezek take place, because there's no other way to explain why the Psak should be that he doesn't get paid unless we go to some abstract construct of what's actually happening. Says Tosfos that I want to distinguish between the situation of Reuven who dropped the keli. Another case, Reuven drops a rock on top and it's going to head down to this keli. And before it hits the keli, Shimon smashes the keli. All right, so Pashtos, and the Ksay says, the Rush would say it's the same case, because when Reuven dropped the rock, so then at that point the keli at the bottom became valueless, and when Shimon waxed the keli, He worked a valueless keli. So Rashi would say that the Reuven is chayiv because his rock was on course to destroy the keli, and Ramban would say no one is chayiv. Tosva says this case is different. In this case, there's no question that Shimon is chayiv. In this case, we don't say mona tevira tova. The second guy is chayiv. Two guys in a mice that were mazik. Second guy is chayiv. Tosva says, now what's my? How do I explain this? Tosva says the e ozlinen basar meikra lemishkachas betzroiris chatzinezek. So Tosva seems to be saying I'm holding like Rashi. Right? That monet, that basar mi'ikra. Tosva says, so l'chorah we say basar mi'ikra, and the first guy's chayiv. Says Tosva, sounds good, but I can't say it. Why? Because if I would say that, so then I could not, there would not be any din of chatzi nezek tzeres. The e azlina nam mehocha vasemi ikra. That if in this case you go vasemi ikra loy mishkachas b'tzores chatzi nezek. And he says usvar b'shuti lechalek ben zerik evan lezerik liatzmai. And I don't even need to be marach of you, right? So now, what do we understand in Tosfos? How do we explain that if that to say what the other Rishonim say, so that means there's no Chatzi Nezek Tzeres. What Tosfos is pointing out? There's no Chatzi Nezek Tzeres. The E is Lina Nami Halcha Basi Mikra. That if in this case we'll also say, no, Yoni. Sorry, I thought you were. No? Yeah, Tosa says that if Reuven drops a rock on Levi's keli, right, and before the rock hits Levi's keli, Shimon smashes Levi's keli, right? So Tosva says in that case it's clear that Shimon is chayiv, even though Shimon will go to court and say chayiv. It was a dead keli. It was smashed. He saw it was pure trajectory. There's all the physics, projectiles. He does his formulae. There's no question that the keli did not have the resistance to withstand, and unless the nest would have happened, it was a smash keli. Shimon goes to court and says, the judge, how can you chayiv me? If Reuven would have sold, if Levi would have tried to sell this keli before I smashed it, what would you have paid for?
Zero.
So I didn't do anything.
So he's holding mine at spirit power?
So Tosva says, even though you would think that it's all the same case as Reuven dropping the keli and Shimon smashing the keli, this case has to be different. Right? That's what Tosva says. This case has to be a case where the Sheni is chayiv. Right? But we don't say, Tosva doesn't use your lashon. Tosva says, we don't say basa mi'ikra. So coming back to Daniel's question, Tosva seems like Rashi, go basa mi'ikra. Right? In this case, we don't go basa mi'ikra. Because if we would go basa mi'ikra, there would not be a din of chatzi nezek tzeres. No hezbra adover. Go ahead, Zev.
So if you say basa mi'ikra, then the second that the animal kicked a rock, it would be like it already broke the cleat.
So correct. Right? So Tatosa seems to be saying is that if you'll tell me that in the case of koichai, when Reuven drops the rock, it's koichai, correct? What smashed the keli? Koichai shel Reuven. He throws an arrow. Chitzesh, it's koichai shel Reuven. So if you're going to tell me that koichai shel beheva, koichai shel Reuven is that's exactly the same as Reuven smashing the keli. So you're telling me koichai kegufai, right? If you're going to say that when Reuven drops the rock, so that means koichai kegufai, so then there's no chatzi nezek tzeris. Because the whole yesod of chatzi nezek tzeris is that koich is like a gufay. If koich is a gufay, then sumach is nezek shalem. We hold, that's the Gemara says, we like a gufay. Why are you paying chatzi nezek? Because of the gzeiras hakasev. Right? So Tosfos, you must say, Koyche lav kegufoi, that's legabe chatzin ezek tzeros, but you're still chayim. So if koyche is lav kegufoi, so that means when Reuven drops the rock, it's lav kegufoi. And if lav kegufoi means that the rock has not done its damage yet, it's not ke'ilu, it's damaged already. That's Tosfos, right? What's hard to understand about Tosfos? Good, Dev.
Why is Tosfos necessarily assuming that there's a connection between the Adam and Mazik and the animal and the energy? I mean, why can I say by an Adam and Mazik, we say Basim Yikar, but by an animal, it's Basim Yikar?
This is a good point. So Tosfos, the way I would understand Tosfos is saying that Tosfos is saying that when it comes that our Gemara seems to say the two are connected, right? Because Rava's Iboya was on the animal stepping on a keli and the keli rolls out and hits the wall, right? And Rava says, "Well, I'll bring a raya from Zorak keli Moshagag." Right? So the Gemara seems to say that koyche kigufoi of koyche shel adam and koyche shel behema. So even though, so let's go slow over here because Zev is 100% correct. Then the gabi adam and mazik we say koyche kigufoi. Right? So he's correct. Legabe a behema, but you don't say koyche kegufa. Good. So now let's answer Zev's kasha. Right? Zev's kasha is that when it comes to Adam and Mazik, we say koyche kegufa. So how could Tosfos say that there will be no such thing as chatzi nezek tzeros when Zev's correct? When it comes to Adam and Mazik, koich is kegufoi, and therefore we should say basar mi'ikra. And when it comes to behema, we say koich la kegufoi. What would Tosfos say? Tosfos will say that even though what Zev said is correct, but legabe, the value of the keli, was legabe, the value of the keli. The Gemara says that Rabba held, we have a universal principle, basar tvar mona. Sorry. The universal principle of basar mi'ikra zilna. How do I know that? Following Rashi and Tosfos. How do we know that? Because in the case of a human being, where we say koyche kegufoi, right? When you drop the keli, it becomes a valueless keli the moment it's dropped, right? So there, Tosfos says, when you use, once you tell me basar tvar mona, what you tell me, mona tmira tovar, then you're going to lose chatzi nezek tzeros. Yet again, what Zev was pointing out is that isn't an apple and oranges. It's koichay in behemoth, it's not koichay in adam. So I pushed back and I said, what the Gemara equates it to. So Zev pushed back and said, yeah, but how can the Gemara equate the two? Terah says, the Gemara equated the two on the Bosar Tvarmone Tovar. And that in the Kuda. What's that in the Kuda? And if an object that's about to get smashed has already lost its value, and you cannot be held responsible for an object that's about to get smashed. Right? So therefore, in Chatzi Nezek Tzroyres, in the case of a... Let's start with, in the case of a person who threw an object down from the roof, and there we should certainly say, Koyche Kegufoy, right? And there we should certainly say the Hezek took place. The Gemara says, you know why the second guy is Potter? Valueless Kaili. All right? So now, Tosfos says, the animal is walking along. It steps on a rock. The rock flies out. Okay? So, by the time the rock hits the kli, the rock is valueless. So why are we being... If kochel is lauki gufoy, so what did kochel do? Gufoy made the object valueless. Kochel is just hitting a valueless keli. So if you say mona tevira tovar, so Taisva says, then there's no chassid in the service. So Tosis argues, therefore you have to distinguish between the case of dropping the kli and being zorek ches al gabi kli. Dropping the kli, mona tevira tovar. Zorek ches, we don't say mona tevira tovar. Once you tell me that we are not saying mona tevira tovar, maybe that applies to human beings as well. All right? Again, Zev's kasha was an important kasha. We keep on moving backwards and forwards, under mazik, momin mazik. So Zev says the whole analysis is wrong, meikara. Because in under mazik, kerches kegufoy, by behemoth kerches lav kegufoy. So why are we moving backwards and forwards? Teretz is, we're moving backwards and forwards on one nakuda. And that's the nakuda of, did the second, according to Rashi, did the second guy do anything significant? All right? So Rabbi was saying, in the case of Koichai Shel Odom, the second guy did nothing significant because it's a broken kli. Okay? So now what are we saying? That we can compare Odom and Mazik and Momin and Mazik on this one nakuda. Two Mazikim, second guy hits a keli that's about to get smashed. Second guy's off the hook. Correct? The Gemara says, therefore, we should say, animal does an act of hezek, and the object is now flying out and hits something. So we want to know, was it gufoy or was it? We say, well, by the time the object hit the wall, it was a valueless object. So go bosim ikra. Right? Good. That's what Rabbi responded to Rabbi. Rabbi may or may not accept. Says Tosfos, once you tell me that mona tevira tovar gets transferred from Odom Mazik to Vema Mazik, you have no Chatzin Nezek case anymore. What's your Chatzin Nezek service case? The animal trips on a piece of rock, sends it flying. So the moment that rock is on its way to smash this keli, that keli is valueless. So if it's a Chatzin Nezek service case, it'll all Chatzin Nezek Tzroyres by definition will always be smashing valueless kelim. It'll always be smashing valueless peiros. The Taisus therefore, mona tevira tovar cannot be transferred. knew, so what do you have left? So he says, well, it must be that mana tvira tova only applies when you're dropping the keli, not when you're targeting it with an arrow. Got to be that way. Other than stuff. However, Tosha says, but once I say that mana tvira tova doesn't apply to chatin ezekshoras, so Tosha says it's not going to apply to koychei shel odem either. It's like a back door. It's a back door argument. Instead of looking at the koychei kegufa, we're looking at the mana tvira tova. But that's what Tosha seems to be saying. And then Tosha's kaftav says, and don't bother me to explain this because anybody can figure this out. Look, go ahead, Yoni.
Tosha doesn't explain.
Correct.
The yisodika difference between the two.
He does not, right?
But he's getting to the result by
it's a backdoor argument, correct? He's proving that it has to be this way, but he does not explain.
Okay.
That's correct. All right, and that's really so. But now you can appreciate why when the so says that. Is Tosha Rosh in here? Yeah. Put that above a comma. But I need Tosha Rosh. Don't have that either. But now you understand that when the Ktsoi says, but I think the Rosh disagrees, there is and the Achronim discuss whether the Ktsoi's diuk in the Rosh is accurate. I think if Shimon holds that he argues with the Ktsoi's diuk in the Rosh, but then said, yeah, now we understand why this is so important. Because if Tosfos is inaccurate, so then how are we going to distinguish what's going to be the din of Chatzin Ezekshoras? Why isn't Tosfos correct? That the distinction has been reduced. Now the Tosfos Rosh, we have the Oz V'Hodor to the back, otherwise it isn't, I think, in some of the Kovetz. He adds two words. You don't have to get too worked up about this. The Tosfos maybe you're right, Tosfos Interference. Taste the Rosh. I'm sorry, you're right. Taste in appearance. There's also in the Kovis, you have a Chidushe Talmidei Rosh. Didn't put that over here either. But there's no Taste in appearance here either, correct?
No.
It's the Rajba said it also, I think. The Tosha Parrot says, "Davke zorak kli, abal zorak even al gabe kli, ubiterim nafla la kli ba'achar mishiv rechayim." Right, so far we have it. Same thing as Tosha says. "Va'af al pisha hoya nishba yedeo echad," even though it would have been broken by the efforts of the first one. "Loi havi k'maymana tvira tovar." Right, Tosha Parrot says, and it isn't. You cannot argue in this case that the Shimon broke a broken and shattered keli. Why? Kevan sherishin le osa masa begufa keli. In le kein le mishkachas la oilon bitzrevet chatzines. Same argument. The one Nakuda is, he just formulates for us that the essential distinction is the rishin handling the object, or is he handling something that's going to damage the object? Right, so how do we define chatzi nezek tzorvus? So koichai is not good enough. It has to be koichai and a masa shaloi beguf achefetz. Right? That's what our Gemara concludes. The animal is walking along, it hits a keli, the keli rolls and gets smashed on impact. That's called regel. It's not called chatzi nezek tzorvus. It's koichai. It's somewhat distanced. It's called, we say, bosa meikra. Where is the maisa hezek? The maisa hezek is when the animal first stepped in this keli and it rolled out. So therefore, it's called regel. This Rino Peres is saying the same thing as the Tosfos. We have to. Chatzi nezek tzoros means that we are not going to say boser meikra. We are going to say, we're not going to say koichai kegufoi. If we're not going to say koichai kegufoi, then we shouldn't say boser meikra as lina. L'chara, those two ideas are wrapped up. If we're going to say koichai lav kegufoi, that means we're going to argue that the moment of Hezek was not the very beginning of this Maisa Hezek. If we're going to argue that the very beginning was not this Maisa Hezek, that's consistent with saying Koichai Lav Kegufoi. Alright? You understand that? You got that? So Tosfos says, Chatzi Nezek Tzroiris tells me, like when it comes to momen amazik koichai lav kegufoi, so in the context of chatzi nezek tzroiros, we should not be saying basar meikra. So Tosfos says, so now when do you say it's bosa meikra and koichai kegufoi by momen amazik? And when you say it's koichai lav kegufoi, and we're not going bosa meikra, well, it depends if the animal hit the object, or the animal hit something which will hit the object. So at this point, we can say, no, that's the gzeres hakozev of the halacha l'mishum b'sinai. It's a certain kind of koichai kegufoi. We opened up the sugya of chatzi nezek tzroros, and we said, "Oh, this is the sugya of koichai. Koichai lav kegufoi when it comes to behemah." Machloekes subchas chachamim. So now we're saying, not so fast. The sugya of whether koichai is kegufoi legabei momen amazik is only when the animal touches the guf hakli, but if the animal is sending out, is only when the animal is sending out a rock to damage the kli. But when the animal is acting on the kli itself to smash it, only smashed al yedei koichai, that's kigufa, that's basim ikra, that's nezik shalom.
The question in the Gemara, whatever, all those things, that's
correct. It's not obvious anymore, but it's one step, it's the next step. In that case, we're saying that as long as that which hit the object was attached to the animal.
Yeah.
The next step is that if the animal that which actually damaged the object is not attached to the animal.
It's koach.
It's koach.
The cap if you randomly throw.
Correct. Well, if heat is a kli, as opposed to heat is a oven. So our Gemara is going to conclude that in this case, we're going to say bosa mikra. We're going to say koichai is kigufoi in this case. So you're right, it is, but it's the next step. of the once it's directly connected to the animal, whether it's because the animal is wearing the mazik or whether it's because the animal touched the guf and nizik. And Tosfos chiddush is that we then take that insight and apply it to Adam and Mazik as well. That we're mechalik between Adam that's Zorik and Adam that's Zorik the Gufa. The question is, what is a Svar Pshuta? So the Nesivus' approach is probabilities. The Nesivus' approach is that the probability of the object getting smashed is increased when you actually drop the object over when you shoot something at the object. The probability of the object that is being shot at, that will ultimately not get damaged, is slightly increased. And the deceiver says it, and he has icon status, and it's the end. Right? But there is room for another way of explaining this, because l'chor it's difficult to say that it's hard for us to appreciate that slight difference in probability, which is very, very slight, that should account for the difference between koichoi kigufoi and adam. That should account for the difference of whether of saying koichoi kigufoi and mona tvira tovar when we drop the object, as opposed to when one drops the a mazik on the object. And that's why the Tzoyis says that the Rosh disagrees with Tosfos. So says that there are many kashas we could ask in this Tosfos. Right, the So says that ultimately, determining basar meikra, or determining koyche kegufoi, does not necessarily say, doesn't force us to say whether it's mana tvira tava or not. In other words, somehow we have to understand in Tosfos how we can have this distinction. And how can Tosfos say that when it comes to that we'll say Bosar logically, how can we say Bosar Me'ikra Azlinon and say that when it comes to Chatzi Nezek Tzroyreis, we will say Koichoi is Lav Kigufa? That's what the Tzoyis pushes against Tosfos, logically. Going to Chatzin as Ekstroyis is Koichel Lav Kegufar. How can you say that if you say Bosom Ikra? That's what's hard to understand. The Teretz is going to be something along the lines, and this you'll find in various Achronim and Rosh Yeshivas, is that the Maisa Hezek can address what kind of Hezek this is. The Maisa Hezek can address exactly when the Hezek took place. But the Maisa Hezek may not address the the Maisa Hezek may not address exactly what the Hezek that was inflicted happened. As we can say that whatever happened took place the moment that the animal kicked the the object. That's when the Maisa. But what was that Maisa Hezek? Was it a Maisa Hezek of Gufoy? Or a Maisa of Tzervis? Tosis is saying that if we're going to overload and put everything on the Basa Meikra, then you're saying that the Hezek all took place at that one moment. And apparently the other Rishonim would say, so certainly would say, that the fact that it took place at that moment, that doesn't define all the other aspects of the Maisa Hezek. Something along those lines. All right, but again, so what we accomplished today is I think we understood the Tosis very, very well. And we understand the Hechreach of Tosvis. The Hechreach of Tosvis is when do we apply Mana to Vira Tomer? And Tosvis says that if we follow through all the logical steps of Koichai, is Koichai Kigufoi, then logically, we should not distinguish between throwing the object or throwing at the object. However, if we say that Mana Tira Tomer applies to both of those situations, then we've left no room for Chatzin Edek Tzervis. And to say that Mana Tira Tomer only applies to, let's say, Adam HaMazik, not correct, because our Gemara equates the two. So their Tosfos is left by saying that we have to distinguish between throwing the object and throwing at the object. So when it comes to how can you draw that distinction, that's the Gzeiros HaKosov of Chatzin Nezek Tzervis. Tosfos then says, and that Chiddush is going to draw back to Adam HaMazik as well. Okay, so where we get stuck is in two places. One is the Tzoyce's argument that he believes the Rosh disagrees with Tosfos, and that's again, as I said, other Rachmanim disagree with the Tzoyce and hold it. He does not disagree with Tosfos. And then the question is, well, how can we explain this distinction? That's very, very the best we have is the Nesivus approach. Okay, let's go weiter.